RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, week in review, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Eleni. We'll conclude our program for today with listeners' mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian government put effort to maintain tax receipts from non-oil gas sector. Indonesia-Serbia discussed the enhancement of cooperation. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that the government would make every effort to maintain tax receipts from the non-oil, non-gas sector in anticipation of the declining tax accruals from the oil-gas sector in 2016. He added that the Indonesian government will maintain tax accruals from the non-oil, non-gas sector as tax earned from the oil-gas sector, including non-tax state revenues or PNBP, would automatically decline. Effort to maintain tax receipts from the non-oil, non-gas sector include upholding the law against personal and corporate taxpayers who have not paid their taxes. To bring the target of tax receipts in 2016 closer to tax potential, the government will adopt a legal mechanism to grant tax amnesty. The government will soon convey the revised draft of the 2016 state budget, which will include several changes in macro assumptions, government spending entrenchment plan, and revision of state revenues from the tax and non-tax sectors. Air Force Chief of Staff Air Marshal Agus Supriyatna, after the commemoration of the 70th anniversary of the Indonesian Air Forces at the Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Force Base in Jakarta Saturday, to media said that Indonesian government will increase the new main weaponry system of Indonesian Air Forces through the second phase of strategic plan. He said the Indonesian space territory must be kept strongly, so it needs firm observation by using more sophisticated modern radar. We are developing main weaponry system. Government know how about our interests, especially on the air territory. Anyone, anywhere in the world, if mastered aerial aerospace earnestly, other countries may not enter into their territory freely. Our problem are now beginning to be followed up through the defense ministry, such as the addition of radar procurement, the addition of the defense equipment replacing F-5 Tiger. They will be followed up in the second phase of the strategic plan. Moreover, Air Marshal Agus Supriyatna explained, to support the duty and have deterrent power, the Indonesian Air Force's armed jet fighters will be modernized and fulfilled by modern main weaponry system, so that the jet fighter owned by the Indonesian Air Forces will be able to counteract and keep the territory of Indonesia. Indonesia and Serbia have discussed increasing cooperation in the political, economic, social, and cultural rights through the Third Bilateral Consultative Forum in Belgrade, Serbia. Ambassador to the Republic of Serbia, Harry Kondo, in a press release received in Jakarta Saturday, said that the Bilateral Consultative Forum was a means to generate bilateral cooperation that the impact could be felt by the people. The forum held on a regular basis has been held on Thursday, April 7th then. Ambassador said that good relationship in the political field between the two countries needs to be translated into economic relations, such as the improvement of Indonesian products in the market of Serbia. During the meeting, the delegation stressed the importance of improving access for Indonesian products in the market in the Serbian market, as well as the increasing of Serbia's investment in the country. Delegates also asked for support and protection of the Serbian government over Indonesia's investment in the country. Indonesian representatives also had the opportunity to have a meeting with the Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadin of Serbia to discuss the increasing of cooperation in the economic field and reviewing Serbia's investment projects in Indonesia. Indonesia was chosen to host the 10th Summit of the Leaders of Scouting throughout the Asia-Pacific region in 2017 through the First Committee and Subcommittee on Scouting Asia-Pacific in Jakarta, Saturday, April 9th evening. According to the plan, the Scouting throughout the Asia-Pacific region 10th Leaders Summit will be held in Bali in April 2017. Determination host APRS Leader Summit is determined by voting. Indonesia won over South Korea, Thailand, Bangladesh, and Pakistan, which both compete to host. The last time the Scout movement believed to host APRS Leader Summit in 2003. At the summit held in Jakarta, Deputy Chairman of the National Scouts, Ahmad Rusti, who are also members of the 2015-2021 period's APRS committee, stated that it is a positive note for the pursuit and development of the Scout movement. Chairman Kuarna Scout Movement Adiaksa welcomed the result of the meeting attended by participants from Australia, the Philippines, Japan, Sri Lanka, Thailand, Taiwan, India, Maldives, Singapore, Hong Kong, Nepal, South Korea, Malaysia, Ethiopia, the United States, and the host, Indonesia. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Rizal Ramli said he praised the bold steps of the Minister of Marine and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti for fighting against illegal fishing in Indonesia by drowning foreign vessels' illegally fishing activities. Hundreds of foreign vessels conducting illegal fishing in Indonesia have been destroyed by the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries in cooperation with the Navy and Air Police. However, Maritime Coordinating Minister Rizal Ramli added that the policy of Minister Susi is the right one because they provide benefits and positive impact for the fishermen in Indonesia. It will make the Indonesian fishermen can catch more fish. Minister Rizal also encouraged the fishing industry businesses in the country to build a fishing industry with abundant supply of fish in order to compete with other countries. And the last item. Deputy Governor of Jakarta Special Region for Culture and Tourism Silviana Murni in Jakarta said that Jakarta offered many choices for foreign tourists and ready to welcome tourists from Europe and Eastern Europe. She added that Jakarta had hundreds of shopping centers that offer a variety of products, both nationally and internationally, in addition to food from various regions in the archipelago and internationally. The head of tourism, Ches Laswanto, stressed that the countries of Eastern Europe, even though not included in the top 10 the number of foreign tourists visiting Jakarta, but recognized the Indonesian tourism industry can attract tourists from these countries. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian government put effort to maintain tax receipts from non-oil gas sector. Indonesia-Serbia discussed the enhancement of cooperation. That was the news.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, turn with me. Beauty of nature among the colors.
feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destinations in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Listener, here is the news from across the country, presenting you interesting information of the week from across the country. Our first news came from Jakarta, the capital of Indonesia. The governor of Jakarta, Basuki Cahayapurnama, inaugurated Monas 92, which can be enjoyed by all visitors. The inauguration was done symbolically by cutting the tumpeng rice by the governor at the entrance of Monas on Tuesday evening, April the 5th, with the 92. According to Ahok, the amount of visitors in the landmark of Jakarta is expected to increase. He also reminded all visitors to keep the area clean for their own comfort. The Monas Night Tour can be enjoyed every Tuesday until Sunday, starting from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. While on Monday, the visitors can enjoy the Jakarta city from the top of Monas by paying entry ticket 20,000 rupiahs for adults and 10,000 rupiahs for children. While for the basement museum, the entry is 7,500 rupiahs for adults and 3,500 rupiahs for the children. The next news is from Sukabumi, West Java. The National Fisherman's Day commemoration at the Pelabuhan Ratu, Sukabumi Regency, West Java, on April the 6th, 2016, was enlivened with Indonesian Museum of Record Oromuri record breaking of the biggest tuna pindang with a length 1.5 meters. And weight 32.5 kilograms. The waters of Sukabumi is well known for producing the best quality and size of tuna, which partly exported to Japan, Europe, USA, and Australia.
Defense Secretary Committee Nandang Heriadi said that they are optimistic that in the next year commemoration, the record can be broken again with bigger tuna pindang. According to him, currently the southern coast, including the Pelabuhan Ratu, is facing famine. Thus, the cold tuna this year is only 32 kilograms. The tuna pindang was cooked for almost 10 hours by 10 cooks. The last news came from Riau. Riau Province Regional Disaster Mitigation Agency, or BPBD, deployed one water bombing helicopter against the land and forest fire in the Giam Lesser Siak Biosphere Conservation Center. The head of Riau BPBD, Edward Sangir, to Antara in Pekanbaru Riau, said the agency received information from the Riau Natural Resources Conservation Agency, or BKSDA, that there were fire in the areas with less land access. Therefore, the BPBD, as the part of Riau Land and Forest Fire Task Force, deployed the helitanker. Since it began operating in the end of March 2016, the helicopter had waterbombed the area for 50 times. And fortunately, the waterbombing was successful. And listener, that was the news from across the country.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event in 1815, the eruption of Mount Tambora in Sumbawa, Indonesia. The 1815 eruption of Mount Tambora was one of the most powerful eruptions in recorded history. The eruption of the volcano on the island of Sumbawa in Indonesia reached a climax on April 10, 1815. And was followed by between 6 months and 3 years of increased steaming and small phreatic eruptions. The eruption column lowered the global temperatures, and some experts believe that this led to the global cooling and worldwide harvest failures, sometimes known as the year without a summer. It resulted in a brief period of significant climate change that led to various cases of extreme weather. Next is from 1912, the RMS Titanic set sails from Southampton, England on her maiden and only voyage. The RMS Titanic was a British passenger liner that sank in the North Atlantic Ocean in the early morning of 10 April 1912 after colliding with an iceberg during her maiden voyage from Southampton, UK to the New York City in US. The sinking resulted in death of more than 1,500 passengers and crew, making it one of the deadliest commercial peacetime maritime disasters in modern history. After leaving Southampton on April 10, 1912, Titanic called at Cherbourg in France and Queenstown in Ireland before heading west to New York. On April 14, 1912, she hit an iceberg. The collision caused the ship's hull plates to buckle inwards along her starboard side and opened 5 of her 16 watertight compartments to the sea. The ship gradually filled with water and sank. Titanic became one of the most famous ships in history. Her memory is kept alive by numerous works of popular culture like books, folk songs, movies, exhibitions, and memorials. And the last is a tragedy in 2010. The Polish Air Force Tupolev Tu-154 aircraft crashes near Smolensk, Russia, killing 96 people, including the Polish president Lech Kaczynski and dozens of other senior officials. On April 10, 2010, a Tupolev Tu-154 aircraft of the Polish Air Force crashed near the city of Smolensk, Russia, killing all 96 people on board. Among the victims, there were the president of Poland, Lech Kaczynski, and his wife Maria, the former president of Poland in exile, Ryszard Kazrowski, the chief of the Polish General Staff, and other senior Polish military officers. The group was arriving from Warsaw to attend an event marking the 70th anniversary of the Katyn massacre, taking place not far from Smolensk. The pilots were attempting to land at Smolensk Nur Airport, a former military airbase in thick fog, with the visibility reduced to about 500 meters. The aircraft descended far below the normal approach path until it struck trees, rolled inverted, and crashed into the ground, coming to the rest in a wooded area a short distance from the runway. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, here is highlights of the week, featuring government still trying to release Indonesian hostages. Stay tuned. Although the location of Indonesian citizens held by Abu Sayyaf group in the Philippines had been found from the satellite observation, the government of Indonesia still respect the Philippines authorities and hope their citizens to be released. This was stated by the Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung at the Presidential Complex Jakarta on Friday. As reported, the 10 Indonesians are the crews of Brahma 12 tugboat, which pulled the Anan 12 barge carrying 7.5 thousand tons of coals. On March 26, 2016, the ships were hijacked by the Abu Sayyaf group in the Tawi-Tawi waters, Philippines. The group asked for 14.2 billion ransom with a deadline in April 8, 2016. Pramono Anung said that President Jokowi through the Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi is continuously observing the latest development. He also said the Philippines followed up with some efforts to release the Indonesians. The Cabinet Secretary said Indonesia respected Philippines' constitutions but still ready to assist or act. According to him, Indonesian National Police Chief and the National Army Commander had reported their readiness to the president. Nevertheless, the country still prioritizes peaceful steps and soft diplomacy. The emphasis on humanist steps was conveyed by the Vice President Yusuf Kalla. As quoted from Antara News Agency, the Vice President, after receiving the report on the situation and development from the Minister Retno Marsudi, explained the government will try humanist steps and suggested the ship owners or the company not to pay the ransom. Well, previously on Thursday, April 7th, the Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi said all observation was good. The Philippines authority is observing the Abu Sayyaf group and the hostages tightly. The Foreign Affairs Ministry had appointed two liaison officers to intensify the communication and coordination between the government and the families of the hostages. Related to the deadline, Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesperson Armana Tanasi said the Indonesian government is always focused on saving the hostages instead of the deadline, which is trending among the public and media. And listener, that was the headlines of the week.
Listener, welcome back to the Week in Review. We start from Sunday, April 3rd, 2016. Indonesian F1 racer of Manor Racing team Rio Haryanto glad to finally see his first checkered flag at the 2016 Formula One Gulf Air Bahrain Grand Prix in Bahrain International Circuit on Sunday night, local time, April 3rd. Rio Haryanto excited from media relation Goldia email release on Monday, April 4th, said that it feels good to have a race distance under his belt, which is vital experience for him and the team as it gives them more data to analyze and develop the car further. He is optimistic to go on the next race in China on April 17th. Rio Haryanto finished the Bahrain Formula One race at 7th place, while his Germany teammate Pascal Wehrlein finished at 13th place. On Monday, April 4th, 2016, the Indonesian Broadcasting Commission KPI urged all related parties to prepare themselves to face the convergence era of the media. KPI Commissioner Azimah Subagio on Monday in Jakarta said that the broadcasting media has been rapidly developed. She said that it was encouraged by the increasingly widespread use of information technology so as to shift the habits of people using conventional means to obtain information.
Kami ingin mengajak masyarakat dan seluruh stakeholder penyiaran.
We would like to invite the public and all stakeholders of broadcast to better prepare for the era of convergence. Our regulations and people are quite shocked by the destructive innovative through online applications. I can assure that it can be happened in the broadcasting sector as well. Most people are no longer watch television and heard radio conventionally, but through apps and smartphones. Moreover, KPI Commissioner Azima Subagio also encouraged that the law on broadcasting can provide protection for conventional media to be able to follow the development. Such protection, according to her, is needed so that broadcasting agencies can fit in the development through broadcasting innovations. On Tuesday, April 5, 2016, the Indonesian government has issued a travel warning to its citizens willing to visit Yemen. The warning issued in view of the security conditions in that country was published on the Indonesian Foreign Ministry's official website on Tuesday. According to the website, the Indonesian government called on the country's citizens not to travel to Yemen till security situation there is restored or becomes conducive for such travel. As reported by Antara News Agency, the Indonesian embassy in Sana'a informed that the security conditions prevailing now in Yemen were not yet conducive for visitors. On Wednesday, April 6, 2016, KPK Deputy Chairman Laude M. Sharif in Jakarta said the country's anti-graft body KPK will review the names of Indonesian individuals or companies that are part of the recently released Panama Papers. Sharif noted that offshore savings were one of the obstacles faced by law enforcement agencies not only in Indonesia but also across the world. If the Panama Papers are used as evidence, cooperation must be established with foreign law enforcement agencies. Still on Wednesday, Indonesian President Joko Widodo has instructed to start new sea toll routes to boost inter-island connectivity in the country. The president stated while simultaneously inaugurating 5 seaports located in East Indonesia in a ceremony centered in Tobelo Seaport, North Halmahera on Wednesday. Indonesia is an archipelagic nation with more than 17,000 islands. Therefore, inter-island connectivity is crucial to unite Indonesia as a big nation. On Thursday, April 7, 2016, Minister of Defense Ria Mizar Ryakudu said the Indonesian Air Force will deploy 4 squads of its special forces, PASCAS, on the island of Natuna Besar. In addition, some F-16 jet fighters will be placed in line with the increasing escalation in the South China Sea. Minister Ria Mizar Ryakudu also explained in Jakarta Thursday that Natuna is a gate. If the gate is not safeguarded, intruders may enter any time. He added that the government will deploy F-16 jet fighters as part of military expansion in the islands, which will have a runway renovated and a new port. On Friday, April 8, 2016, President Joko Widodo has any records of anyone who has and has deposited funds overseas before Panama Papers circulated. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo before governors and regional heads of the election result in 2015 at the State Palace in Jakarta on Friday. He remarked that the circulation of Panama Papers indicates that the world is increasingly open. He also noted that, as a great nation, Indonesia must be aware of having entered the international integration. This means that if one country is shaking, Indonesia will be affected by the impact. President Joko Widodo added that Indonesia has entered into ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, and soon could not deny the existence of similar schemes in the European Union, the United States, China, and many other trade blocs. Listener, that was the Week in Review.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that the government would make every effort to maintain tax receipts from the non-oil, non-gas sector in anticipation of the declining tax accruals from the oil-gas sector in 2016. Air Force Chief of Staff Air Marshal Agus Supriyatna, after the commemoration of the 70th anniversary of the Indonesian Air Forces at the Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Force Base in Jakarta Saturday, to media said that the Indonesian government will increase the new main weaponry system of Indonesian Air Forces through the second phase of strategic plan. Indonesia and Serbia have discussed increasing cooperation in the political, economic, social, and cultural rights through the Third Bilateral Consultative Forum in Belgrade, Serbia. Ambassador to the Republic of Serbia, Harry Kando, in a press release received in Jakarta Saturday, said that the bilateral consultative forum was a means to generate bilateral cooperation that the impact could be felt by the people. Indonesia was chosen to host the 10th Summit of the Leaders of Scouting throughout the Asia-Pacific region in 2017 through the First Committee and Subcommittee on Scouting Asia-Pacific in Jakarta Saturday evening. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Rizal Ramli said he praised the bold steps of the Minister of Marine and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti for fighting against illegal fishing in Indonesia by drowning foreign vessels illegally fishing activities. Deputy Governor of Jakarta Special Region for Culture and Tourism, Silviana Murni, in Jakarta said that Jakarta offered many choices for foreign tourists and ready to welcome tourists from Europe and Eastern Europe. That was news in brief.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destinations in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief, why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia!
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a segment which introduces Indonesian tourism potentials including tourist destinations, art and culture, also culinary. Today, I'll invite you to Goa Cina Beach in Malang, East Java. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via live streaming at www.voi.co.id. The city of Malang, which is located in East Java, is not only well known for its culinary that can make you addicted, but also for many beautiful tourist attractions, one of which is Goa Cina Beach, or Chinese Cave Beach. It is precisely located in Hamlet Tumpaau, Sitiarjo, Sumber Mancing Wetan Subdistrict in Malang Regency, East Java. Actually, its original name is Pantai Indah Rowo, but because of the antiquity that had occurred in the death of a Chinese who was imprisoned in the cave that is in the coastal region. Finally, the hermit died in the cave. It is known then that somebody came in and saw the bones of the hermit and the Mandarin characters in the cave ceiling. So then, the name Pantai Indah Rowo was changed into the Goa Cina Beach or Chinese Cave Beach. If you are in Surabaya and wanted to visit this Goa Cina Beach, you should start early because the journey from Surabaya to Malang will take up to 2 hours. And then from Malang to the beach, it will take about 2 to 3 hours. Geographical condition of the beach is in the south of the island of Java and surrounded by hill. The road you are going through becomes quite challenging. You will go through steep inclines and sharp bends at the same time. Besides, the road width is not too large, therefore you should be careful. To enter the beach, the fee is quite cheap, only 4,000 rupiah, while for the parking of vehicles, you have to pay 5,000 rupiah. All is less than $1, I mean $1. But hopefully you are not too disappointed because in Goa Cina Beach, visitors are prohibited to swim. This is because the beach is part of the south coast for the big wind and waves. Because of the waves are so big, then there is no fishing boats that rely on the coast. So visitors who come to enjoy this rare phenomenon can see the large waves that collide and cause a roar. While listening to the roar of the waves in Goa Cina Beach, there will be various facilities such as food stalls, mosques, bathroom, and a parking lot. So that will make your holiday enjoyable. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today, which takes you to Goa Cina Beach in South Malang, East Java.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, custom and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing Hong Kong television uses Indonesian subtitle. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. Language is a people's communication tool. Moreover, language is also a symbol and identity of a particular community or country. Indonesian people should feel proud when Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language is used by people in other countries. Moreover, the language is used in a national media such as national television. Radio Television Hong Kong, or RTHK, owned by the government of Hong Kong, began using Indonesian subtitles on some of its programs from April 2, 2016. A spokesman for RTHK, as quoted by local media, said, "Adding the Indonesian subtitle is an attempt by the broadcasting company to reach viewers of minority groups, especially the citizens of Indonesia residing in Hong Kong." RTHK spokesman explained that some of Indonesian citizens in Hong Kong do not understand English. He said Indonesian subtitle addition will be made on programs if requested by viewers and considered advantageous to the programs. Indonesian Consul General in Hong Kong, Halif Akbar, welcomes the RTHK decision to add Indonesian subtitle on some of its programs. Halif Akbar said this is the first time, to his knowledge, a foreign television station has Indonesian subtitle. This is certainly encouraging for the Indonesian nation. The Consul General hopes 170,000 Indonesians living in Hong Kong are increasingly able to understand Hong Kong and vice versa. Indonesian citizens in Hong Kong tops the list of the number of foreign nationals living in the country, or about 2% of the citizens of Hong Kong. One of the programs on RTHK using Indonesian subtitle is Hong Kong Stories Challenges in the Wild, aired every Saturday at 6:30 to 7 local time. The program that tells the story of a trip down the Hong Kong in an unusual way. Other programs will be given Indonesian subtitle is Independent Travelers, a program aired on Monday at 7 p.m. and Visits with Our Animal Neighbors. Well, that was Miss Eleni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Listener, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Well, now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Hisaaki Hamamura in Japan. We received his email on March 30th, 2016. In his email, he also enclosed the answers of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. Hello, Mr. Hisaaki Hamamura. Thank you very much for your participation in our Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. Your answers were very detailed, and we wish you to be one of the lucky winners. Please don't forget to invite your family and also your friends to send their answers to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. I repeat again, wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Who knows, they will also be one of the winners. As our appreciation special for you, Mr. Hisaaki Hamamura will play a beautiful song. This song is also for our regular listeners wherever you are. Enjoy the song.
Dengarkan sebuah lagu ku persembahkan untuk kau. pesonamu yang selalu lulukan hati. Aku tak pernah inginkan untuk jauh darimu. Aku yang takkan mampu bila tak bersamamu. Kau bidadari. Persembahkan untuk kau pesonamu yang selalu lulukan hati. Aku tak pernah inginkan untuk jauh darimu. Aku yang takkan mampu bila tak bersamamu.
Listener, now we will reply a letter from Mitsul Kansal in India. We have received his email dated March 27, 2016. In his email, Mr. Mitsul Kansal expressed his feeling when he was one of the winners of Wonderful Unizu Quiz 2015. He told that his dream came true and he could enjoy the beauty of Indonesia with his own eyes. Hello, Mr. Mitsul Kansal. Thank you very much for your appreciation, also compliment when you were here. Hopefully, you can go back to Indonesia again, especially at our office, Voice of Indonesia, to make short conversation or interview about your experiences when visiting Indonesia. Well, Mr. Mitsul Kansal, keep listening to our broadcast and please send your reception report as well. Thank you. Well, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song.
Setiap tetes air mataku telah ku dimengerti. Cintaku telah di ujung jalan. Setiap kata dari bibirku kadang tak sama dalam hatiku. Tersenyum dalam hati menangis. Cintaku telah di ujung jalan. Aku sangat mengenalmu. Aku juga cintaimu. Tapi kau tak pernah ada pengertian. Ku senang, kau tak mau tahu. Aku sangat mengenalmu. Dulu kau tak begitu. Kau bintang di hatiku. Jadilah yang ku mau. Ku senang, kau ada denganku. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mengerti kau apa adanya. Begitu pun ku mau darimu. Kau tahu rasanya diabaikan. Cintaku telah di ujung jalan. Aku sangat mengenalmu. Aku juga cintaimu. Tapi kau tak pernah ada pengertian. Ku senang, ku sedih.
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday, and now we'll continue to reply a comment from Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan. We are always happy to receive your email because it is a proof that you always tune in our broadcast every day. As usual, your email is very detailed to report our segment, which has been broadcast by our radio. Thank you for your compliment. We always try to discuss about World Days with related speakers, and we are waiting for your next email and also certainly with your reception report. Thank you very much. Well, boy listeners, wherever you are, now we will give you a beautiful song. Let's check it out. Thank you.
aku. Hanya kau jawabku. Hanya kau jawabku.
Listener, those were some emails that we can share with you this week. Actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. We want to say thank you for listeners who have liked and also visited our official Facebook fan pages. Thank you for visiting our Facebook fan pages and for being our regular listeners. Well, listener, we appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. So please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, 4 and 5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and also the Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter @VoiIndonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. And for your information, the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, in cooperation with RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. For information, you can tune in our programs for shortwave and streaming, or you can visit our website at www.voi.co.id and also Facebook fan page, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our listeners' mailbag segment, we'll play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Anies. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in listeners' mailbag. Bye-bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.